This is professional radio, gentlemen.
That would and be it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now we do the after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin there.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's another Tuesday night. It's me, Matty J, online with Alan Deep Singh, Robert Zadai, David Prince, and Mr. Scotty Doe Johnson. How are you, gentlemen?
Awesome.
Well, indeed. Thank you, mate.
Doing pretty good, thanks.
Happy to be here.
Good to see all your lovely, lovely faces. How have you been? It's been a busy week. A lot of us are getting back to work. Two of us are still on holidays.
Yes.
How have you guys been? What's happening with you all? And then we'll get into some car updates. So hopefully you've all been well. Anyone do anything interesting during the week before we start?
Went to that car show down Cumberland Road in Pasco Vale there on Sunday.
Yeah.
It was a real good turn. Actually, there's some quite nice car, very nice cars. A large variety of cars too, from rods to modern cars.
All right.
So it was a good mix. It was a good day. And one of the guys in our Pony 6G club won the best modern Mustang. So it's pretty good.
Nice.
Lovely, lovely.
There's a big show out at Cruden Farm too. The Association of Motoring Clubs had a show out at down in the far eastern suburbs, I suppose you'd call it. I didn't get down there, but saw some plenty of photos, and there were some plenty of cars there, including the MR2 club, Matic. There was an immaculate original white AW11. I thought, Matt, he didn't tell me he was going there, but it wasn't your car.
Mine's good, but it's not that good. So it's not like it's pretty good. it's not concourse like some of those other ones were, but good to see the MR2 is getting out. Well, let's get into some car updates. We'll start with you, Mr. David Prince. Updates with you.
Car updates with me. I drove a couple of bits and pieces on the weekend, cycled through a couple to make sure they're running. I hadn't been in the Scamps since before I went to Sydney, so it was good to get them started and round the block again. Of course, they just started brilliantly, and you know, as they do. The main reason for that is I'm actually I've got a mate. Some of you might have met him, Damon Earwacker, who's is to Fiat 500s, the original Fiat 500s, as I am to Scamps, pretty much. And his parents had a Scamp growing up as the big car. So we've often said, we must get them together. He's got a collection of Fiat 500s. He said, we must get them together and, you know, back to back and have a go. So that's Friday. So watch this space. Mm. I think we need to get someone to record it. I'd love to do some side-by-side comparisons. It was funny because when I first got the Scamp, I always likened it to a Japanese 2CV. I'd never driven a 2CV, a Citroen 2CV, but similar thing, two-cylinder, air-cooled, gear lever coming out of the dashboard that, you know, doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And one of my workshops one day, I had one in for a service, and I said, oh, please take me around the block. I said, it's a customer's car, I don't want to drive it, but I said, it can take me around the block. Well, I tell you, the Scamp drives rings around these things, absolutely drives rings around them. So, yeah, I was quite pleasantly surprised. Disappointed too, because I'd always thought of the 2CV as such an iconic thing, which they are. There's no getting around that. But, the Japanese took a similar sort of plan and actually just improved on it, I think, back in the 60s.
I think the Japanese said, well, we're not using it for a family of four carrying eggs in a basket.
That's right, across the ploughed field.
Across the field, yeah. So,
wheels.
Yes, on three wheels, yeah. Precisely. So, I'm looking forward to Friday. I'm looking forward to Australia Day holiday. Can we even say that? Are we allowed to say that? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that back-to-back. So I get to drive a Fiat 500, which I haven't done for many, many, many years.
That's very cool.
And he'll get to drive a Honda Scamp, which I don't think he's ever done. So, should be a fun morning.
No, that'll be a lot of fun, Mr. Prince. I'll have to see your videos and stuff when you get out there. That'll be epic.
Yeah, we'll make sure we've got some sort of system in place. Also, bid on a car yesterday in Japan. Not personally, ooh. I had my agent do it for me. Dipped out at the end. It was sort of I think the guy described it as a very calculated risk to actually bid on it, because the car actually ended up being at the opposite end of Japan to what we would have liked. So he couldn't actually get someone on the ground to take a lot of photos of the car up close. When I bought the red one, there were like 70 photos that he took of it. Mm-hmm. But this was a rating 5, 2020 model with 3,000 Ks.
Oh,
so
well.
He said, you can look at it and you can see that there's really, nothing wrong with it. So it's a calculated risk. He said, why don't we bid on it and see if we can get it for a bit less, and then it's a bargain. And then if there is anything unforeseen, we can, sort that out. But it being obviously a good car and people that hadn't been able to check it out, it went for a couple of grand more than I was hoping. So that's right. There'll be another one. But this ticked a lot of boxes. Well, pretty much every box, actually. So anyway, we'll find one closer and we'll get more photos of it and go from there, I think.
Sounds good. It's exciting times.
Yeah.
Alan, what's happening with you, man?
Not a whole lot of car updates. A little issue with the MX-5, though.
Oh.
Because obviously it's been nicer weather outside. I've opted for the David Prince system of suns out, guns out.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to use the MX-5 with the top down a little bit more, but I've had an issue with it occasionally where I'll get the check engine light flashing and then becoming solid. And obviously if the light's flashing, you should turn off the car immediately. But by the time I obviously am ready to turn off the car, we'll get it safe. It becomes solid at that point. It's obviously something you need to take care of, but not something that you need to shut off the car and get it like towed or anything. And I've actually had to plug the scanner in because the MX-5 thankfully has a OBD2 port, and I've got the P0300 error, which is it could be a number of things, but it's a random misfire. And the most recent time it did happen, I did actually notice a little bit of loss of power. It was basically when I was coming to the point-to-point cameras on the Hume Freeway, that would slow down a little bit, get past the cameras, and speed it up again. To the speed limit, of course.
Of course.
But as soon as I went to speed up, I felt the car hesitate just a little bit. I thought that was odd. And then, the check engine light flashed a couple of times and then it became solid. And this was obviously not the first time it had happened, so I had a rough idea. Plugged the scanner again, saw the code, cleared it, and it seems to be fine. It just does that very, very randomly. Like, I'd say in the last 6 months, it's probably done that about 3-4 times.
Does it say what cylinder it's doing it out of?
No, I think it's a multiple/random misfire detected.
Okay.
So I think it's not pointing to any particular cylinder. I know the spark plugs on it have been changed relatively recently.
What about the coil packs?
The coil packs have not. So that's basically what I've been looking at. I saw the OEMs, they're a bit pricey, which I know a lot of people do opt to go OEM. But I've also seen some NGK coil packs, which I think should be relatively reliable. If I do have issues with them, I might switch out. But the NGKs, I think I can get for about, basically, I can get two for the price of less than one OEM. So
yeah,
I think I'll go for the NGKs, put those on, and see if that solves the issue. Otherwise, it has been known that sometimes it's a crankshaft position sensor or a cam angle sensor.
Mm-hmm.
They're not terribly difficult to do in the MX-5s, but it's probably easier just to do the call packs first, because that's, I think, most of the lists of like your call to action is usually you do spark plugs, then your call packs, and then look at the sensors.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with the call packs and then see. Again, it's not like it happens every single time I drive. It's like, again, probably 4 times in the last 6 months.
Mm.
So, but it's obviously something that needs to be addressed. And we'll start with that and then keep you guys updated. Hopefully it's all good.
Sounds good. Rob, updates with you.
Rob's fabrications painting has sort of slowed down a little bit for a week or so. Just let it settle. Car shows, not much really. It's been quiet.
Oh, very good.
Mm. Have you been painting anything?
Oh, yeah, I did. Sunday Was the last, the Sunday week ago.
Sunday week.
Yeah, so that was the last time I painted anything. So I didn't paint anything this week. I thought I'd give it a miss this weekend. The weather wasn't all that good anyway. It was a bit cold and wet and miserable. Yeah. So just ended up just going to the car show, kicking back, cutting the grass, just nothing to do with cars.
Very good. Scotty Doe, big updates with you.
Oh, me. The R31 went in for its roadworthy check. It did come back with some things, but not things that I expected. So easy fixes.
Good.
For example, going through the list. So there's 13 items on the list, but they're things that majority will just be smacked out in no time. Just the lash that goes around the spare tire and the boot just wasn't secured. So just got to wrap that around it. Says brake fluid condition, needs a flush again, but that'll be connected to the brake hoses. They got cracks in it.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll replace that. The center high mount brake light on the rear. Didn't realize that was out. So that needs to just be
globe
is all that needs. Warning lamps on the right hand indicator in the dash. Isn't working, so just a little globe in there in the dash. Yep. The red warning lamp that goes on your door when you open the door,
mm-hmm.
It's on there. That one wasn't working, so that's just another globe. Driver's seatbelt not retracting properly, so just needs a wipe down. Driver's seat for some reason a little bit loose. I must have needs to just be tightened. I'd say when I took it out, put it back in, I just hadn't tightened it enough probably. The other exhaust section's got a bit of a leak and a split in there.
Have you taken it to an exhaust place or you hadn't yet?
No, I didn't take it to an exhaust place. I got a rear muffler and all that. And I put that in there, but further up, it says between the cat and the rear muffler. So that whole there's a split that I didn't see. I patched up quite a lot of it, but there must be another split somewhere up further. It's a bit ratty. Windscreen wiper washers for some reason on there. He said he'll just adjust and just wipe the window down.
Yeah.
Engine driveline oil leak. The guy said there's not really an oil leak there. He'll just give it a wash underneath.
Well, why speedometer. For sake. That's nuts.
Oh, I'll mention that in a sec.
Oh.
Speedometer not working. They're going to fix that for me. Keeps playing up. And then I forgot I left the rag in between the where the horn is. I left the rag in there because I hadn't fixed that properly because it keeps hitting the connection. I've got to fix it and bend it properly. But yeah, I left the rag in there. So that just needs to be removed and it'll be perfect. So it sounds like a big list, but it's not really that much. And
it's just real little stuff, Scotty. It's not much at all.
Yeah. So the reason is a lot of those little stuff is on there is because when it gets tested, they're not allowed to touch it. So it comes in to get tested. They can't touch it until it's been done. And then if you want, they can fix it or I can take it and I've got that time and fix it myself. But I just told them, go for
it.
You guys do it. Yeah, I'm not going to stuff around with it now. Yep. It's already there at your workshop. Go for it. You can pull the dash out. I've done that before. You can do that. Find out why the speedo's not working. There's a gear behind there that might be playing up that they can replace for me. Spray underneath to clean it underneath. I already did a pretty good cleaning job under there. They can do that. So he's like, yeah, no worries. We'll quote you up. Pretty good quote. Way cheaper than what Ed put up there.
Excellent.
Wow. Okay. So
it was 700 and something.
That's good. That's great.
Not including the brake hoses.
Okay.
But he said that's not going to really add on much anyway.
Yeah, no.
Just get them made up. That's it, just not including that. So,
Scott, you'd be happy with that.
Yeah, all up, I'm looking at you, $1,100, $1,200 or something.
Pretty good. I'd take that, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I said when he gave that first quote, not including the brake hoses. I was like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
Why not? I can't say no to that.
No.
They'll just go through, smash out, I don't have to worry, and it comes back with a certificate. And then I will need help after that because I've got no clue what to do.
Yeah, we can definitely help you with that, Scotty.
Because it's what? Valid for 30 days. So got to smash through that.
So is it going on Club Ridge, I gather?
Yep.
So have you talked to any clubs yet?
Nope.
Can I suggest you do? Only coming from the other direction, we have a waiting. Our club has a waiting period for people after they've joined the club to apply for a club permit. So some clubs do have waiting periods, others don't. So just whichever one you want to choose, you probably just want to find out what their policy is.
Yeah, I just want one that will just slap it on and then off I go.
Well, now the club I'm with, there's no waiting period, but he'll take extensive photos of the car, go over the car and keep a log of the car and what it is. So he'll go right through it and make sure it is as per the roadworthy says it is. We'll pretty much do everything on the spot, fill out the paperwork and whatnot. So you join the club. Then I think you then have to go, once you get all the paperwork, the roadworthy in the club paperwork, you have to then go to Vic Roads to get a plate issued, the book issued, and so on.
And then you're good.
And you might need to go back, I think, to get the book.
Don't. They'll do that for you.
But yeah, if you want some details, I'm not sure which side of town you're on. So
yeah, northern.
Yeah, we can help you with that. That's no issue.
Northern suburbs.
That's exciting, Scotty. I can't believe it's finally happening, mate.
Finally. Yeah, I know. It's pretty good. It would be great to get it on the road. Yeah. Just all that suspension work and that, it just drives so good.
Mm-hmm.
Just feeling it and just driving it down there felt really, really good. So
nice.
You'll be one of the nicest 31s cruising around.
I think so.
I must say, I'm so happy that the wheels that I've got on there passed and everything, they were all good.
Yeah.
Because I did all the calculations and everything that it says that was allowed compared to, you know, my original first one that I got. They're like, oh, yeah, nah, put the stock ones on. I go, no, I'm allowed to go up by 2 inches.
2 inches, yeah.
And the 15 mil width as well. And I measured it all. I was like, it has to be spot on. And, well, yep, passed.
They didn't get you for a boot grommet this time, Scotty?
No, because remember I found it and I got it sitting there. So it's in there. That's all in there.
Oh, very good, mate. That's awesome news. I cannot wait. Did they give you an ETA? They've given you like a week or so?
Yeah, I've given this week. I said you've got, all this week and that. And what is it, 14 days or something anyway to rectify?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he'll get that all done and have it done by then for me.
Awesome. That's awesome, dude. Cannot wait to see you driving the 31. It'll be quite literally the best mechanically put together 31 in the area. Oh, so
I'm just thinking it's got to be, you know, more fresher than my Liberty right now.
Yeah.
You know, this whole thing has so many things done to it and changed, and not just suspension wise, but I've done heaps of engine parts and swapped out electricals, and everything's just so fresh and brand new. I did an oil change and that on the Subaru today.
Oh, very good.
20 minutes it took me. Got it down to an art.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So easy.
Which car lives? So the new place has got a double garage. Which car is going to live outside? And I'm scared.
Mine lives outside.
Oh, okay.
Honda lives in the garage.
Just as well as it should.
Yeah, it is. It is a double garage, but of course they're not made to fit two cars, are they? Really?
No, they're not. They're not. Unless you get K cars, then there's heaps of room.
Then easy, I could probably fit three in there.
Yeah.
Mainly because Ash has got a new job. She's starting this year at a new school, and it's a lot closer.
Oh, good.
So I'll be leaving earlier than her. So mine will live out there.
And the 31's going to live next to it inside, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it might fit in that double garage. It's a lot narrower than the Liberty.
Yeah, it would be.
A lot narrower. So might be able to. So looking at, I've got some shelving just on the back wall. And I'll have one side free of nothing and one side with just some smaller tubs. And that's it. So just got to do some measuring to figure that out. But at the moment, it lives at Mum's. And they've got a spot that they don't use that fits in there. It's undercover and a car cover goes over it too. So
oh, awesome.
It gets more care than the Subaru. But I think the way things are going, the R31's actually worth more than the Subaru.
It is.
Definitely.
They're about, having a look, they're probably about on par price-wise. Because the Subarus were actually, the B4s were dropping way down. They were like, you know, $4,000 or $5,000.
They were. They're
picking back up again now around about eight, nine grand. So, which is about what a 31's going for. Mm. Some of them a bit more, but, you know, that's what they're going for now.
Mm.
Crazy times.
Mm-hmm.
I think very that good, is man. All my updates. Updates with you, Matty.
Interesting week. I got my alternator done in the Typhoon, so that's all sorted. So that light flickering.
Talking about that last week.
Yeah, the light flickering problem, all sorted, all good, happy days. It was, the alternator was overcharging, so it was just worn out. So got another one, got a good Bosch one, put it in, no issues at all, happy days. Drove that to Phillip Island. I drove it to the island today, to see a friend, and she's got like a young child, so I went to meet the child and say congratulations, and she's like, I'll go get us some lunch. Just, you know, if you could just move your car, like just out there and just put it in front of the boat. I'm like, yeah, no worries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I put it in front of the boat and put the handbrake on. It's on a bit of a gravel kind of you know, edge, and foot's on the clutch. And I didn't realize that the car had rolled back a touch and it's creased my rear bar and chipped it. And I'm gutted. Like, actually, I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Like, really? So just frustrated. Like, you know, it was completely accidental. Like, I didn't even realize I was moving. And yeah, so I wasn't impressed with myself. I kind of bit my lip because, you know, I didn't want to make a scene out of everything. But yeah, it's just touched to the back of the rear bar, and it's chipped the paint, and yeah, it's noticeable, and then now I'm just like, every time I'm like, I can't look at this car anymore. It's just, yeah, you know, when it just gets you. Mm-hmm. So that's more money I've got to spend now to get that repaired, which is just frustrating because I mean, you guys have seen that car. It's mint. Like, it's a really clean example.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty,
you know, it still is a really clean example, Matt. It's just got a crease in the bar, which is fixable.
It is fixable. It's just frustrating.
Yeah, it is frustrating.
So if you guys know any like people that that do little bar repairs, please let me know. Rob, I don't want to cause your neighbors to kill you. So I won't be interested in your services this time. But if you guys know anybody that that do those little, you know, bumper repairs, I'd be more
than happy. You should look at some of those dentless removers. I know it's not a dent; it's like on the plastic bar, yeah.
Yeah.
But do a lot of those touch ups with the crease marks and stuff. I've seen a few of the videos of them fixing those, so they might be able to actually come around and do it, then you're having to take it somewhere.
Yeah, well, it should be good, because if they can do that, they can hopefully touch up the where it's chipped off the paint as well, which would be nice.
They do a good job.
So I emailed a company that come to you. They specialize in bumper repair, like, you know, on little minor scuffs and things like that. I don't know if they'll get back to me, or who knows. But if you guys know anybody, I'm all ears, because I was a little bit frustrated with myself. It's just one of those things. Like, I didn't even realize I was moving. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, I feel like a little thung. I'm like, oh no. So that was.
That's all right. Been there.
Yeah, that was a bit frustrating. So yeah, that's got to get done. Another thing I wanted to talk about was my Fiesta. Now, David, I spoke to you about this earlier today.
Yeah.
But so, for example, Ford have just recently announced a recall for their 1 liter EcoBoost 3 cylinders, which have got, and it's a stupid design. Like, I don't know why they do it. But they use what's called a wet belt, which is a like a rubber timing belt, but in the oil, which makes no sense to me as to why that would even be logically a good idea. So they use a wet belt for the timing, as well as a wet belt for the oil pump. So some of the earlier ones have had issues with the tension is failing because of either wrong oil or just not being no good, and they've failed, and the teeth have been ripped apart and then get sucked up into the oil or snapping and getting sucked into the oil pickup and then killing the motor because it's got no oil pressure. So they've finally done a recall on it. Now my Fiesta is the 1.5 3-cylinder, so it's kind of unique to the ST and to like one other car, I believe. And that engine, it's called the Dragon engine. So it's an evolution of the 1 liter. It's been completely redesigned, but it's not the same, but it's got similar attributes. That's got a timing chain, which I was like, great, that's awesome. But it's still got an oil pump belt driven in the oil, which I found out because like the early ones, I did a bit of research on this. Then the early ones have got a timing chain and a gear set for the oil pump. So like they're like, but mine's being a Series 2 has got they've moved to the oil pump as a spun by a belt. Now Ford have done this with the new Mustang V8s. They've done this with a whole bunch of new cars. And it's not like this is new technology. Like I was telling David, Honda have been doing this in their little mowers and things for years with kind of no issue. But I guess they're not being used, consecutively like a car. And you know, like a few other companies do it as well. But, the idea of oil, like a belt in oil is just doesn't make much sense.
No.
So, I contacted my dealer. And to be fair, look, with the 1.5, I've never heard any issues. People have done well over 150,000 K in them, and they've been so completely sorted. But just for my own peace of mind and hearing that the horror story that some of the early 1 liter ones had, I called and said, hey, what's the interval change on that belt? And they've like, oh, we'll get back to you. And they got back to me and they said, oh, it's meant to last the life of the engine. And I'm like, so you're telling me that this belt will last the life of the engine? And he's like, yeah. So I'm like, what if it snaps? He's like, you'll need it. And his response was, verbatim to this, you will need a new engine. And I'm like, that is the biggest load of shit I've ever heard. Like, that is just utter insane. Because you can buy the belt and you can buy the gear set and you can buy a new timing chain for the car. And I'm like, what if I wanted to change it? He's like, oh, you'd be up for a big bill. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. And then I looked into it more, and then you have to actually take off the timing chain because it's behind the timing chain. So it's a really stupid design. And it made me really, not like, I mean, not that it's happening with my car, because like my car's a real brand new example still. But it's just like, it got me thinking car companies are doing stupid things like that just for, noise and vibration or to save a couple cents on a belt rather than a chain. I wanted to get your opinion on that, guys, because for me, that's really, really silly. And especially now that Ford are recalling virtually all the 1 liters to get them repaired, the specific tension are repaired and replacing all the belts. You think they would have said, maybe this is not the best idea?
Not, but they're probably pushing the boundaries of emissions at the moment.
That's so another reason, yeah.
So they're trying to find less drag on every component. And if they can do that with a belt, they will.
Correct. So, and that was the other reason, Rob. They said emissions, which is again, if it's that bad to the environment, just don't even bother.
It's not about the environment. It's about them meeting their targets.
Yeah.
And
that's right. Their legal responsibility.
And their carbon credits and everything else that they do. Mm-hmm. So it's a bigger thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from what, like, I've spoken to a few people about, and a few people online and over it, and most mechanics have said the 1.5 in the Fiesta is really good, like no issues at all. It's been around since 2018 now. Strong engine, reliable, can push, really good power if you want to. They haven't had no horror stories at all with cars that said over 150,000 Ks plus that are doing completely fine. So like, for me, that gives me a sense of like, okay, they've fixed the issue in the early ones of the, you know, the 1 liters. But the fact of the matter is that they're like, oh, there's no interval change on something that integral to the engine's lifespan, I think is just insane.
Yeah, I suppose it's design obsolescence, 10 years. If you get 10 years out of the car, you know, someone else's problem. It's
that general bullshit of sealed for life kind of stuff with you know, transmissions as well. When things that have historically been things you would change at an interval, for whatever reason, has become just, no, we'll just leave it for the life of the car, which, again, no one ever is willing to put a proper figure on the life of the car. It'll just be until it runs out of warranty and then it's your problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, obviously, I understand not everyone's happy to have every single thing changed to the car, but when it's, you know, fluids that over time will degrade, change them. Belts over time that will, you know, break down and not degrade. You should change them. Tying belts, you know, it's not a cheap job, yes, but these are things that, you know, can make sure that your car, you know, keeps on going on rather than just conking out at 150,000 Ks, for example.
That's right, and ending up as landfill.
Yeah. And I'm not saying I'm not happy to do the job to, you know, to pay to get it done. Like when it comes to like 10 years and, you know, 100,000 Ks or whatever I get to on the car, absolutely. Like, you know, it's maintenance. Like, and I get that, and it'll last another 100,000 Ks. As I said, like there are examples of these engines doing lots of Ks, no issues at all. But now it just kind of scares me. It's like, well, you know, if one goes, then, you know, then another one goes, and be like, oh, okay, so you're kind of on a ticking time bomb. When would the appropriate, you know, interval to be changed should be?
I was going to say, in a way, running on a belt rather than through gears or chains can be better, because if there's any other stresses or strains, because I've heard the FM and FMN Mustangs have broken the oil pump gears, you know, and they're just blown, shattered.
Wow.
Right. And so something has to give somewhere. And rather than having metal parts go for your car and having a belt snap, you might have a better chance of actually, I suppose, getting that car going again compared to one that blows all its gears and all the metal parts.
Yeah.
The oil galleries and everywhere else.
And also, like, the good thing about, like, the Fiesta ST as well, like, it's, you know, people track these cars relentlessly and they're fine and they take a beating. And it's also got an oil pressure. It shows you the oil, like, current, you know, like, the oil pressure on the dashboard. So, like, as soon as you see that drop or anything, you can just switch the car off and then be like, okay, I've saved it from completely destroying itself. But, yeah. Like, I personally think that these engines will be fine. It's just I would like the peace of mind to know, hey, every 10 years or 110,000 Ks, just change it. It's, you know, it's a big bill, but it'll make your car, you know, fine. And I'm happy to do that. But you know, again, the fact that I got a response of like, oh no, yeah, it's you get a new engine. I'm like, that's just like, what is that? That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I'd be more concerned about Ford's quality standards on the oil coolers and other parts.
Yeah. it just annoys me though, because, like, you know, I mean, Rob, you've got an XR6 turbo, right? Like, I've got, you know, my F6 project, which I drove today, and mine's got 145. Mine hit 145,000 Ks today, and it's never, you know, it's just, I mean, besides like an alternator, but that's just whatever. Like, every car does an alternator. I've seen every brand do an alternator at work. You know, they're reliable and they work. Why, you know, why this? Like, I don't understand.
They are no oil pumps, so even the Barras.
That is correct. At like high RPM and driving them like a complete cock. But yeah, at the end of the day, I just thought I'd put my two cents in there. Not really happy with that. Like the car itself, I love the car. Like, I think it's a great little car. I think it's David and Alan, you guys have both driven it, and it's a cracking little car. And it deserves all the accolades it got for how good it is to drive. But just something like that, I just think so. I don't know if they were just trying to get me off the phone or I definitely want to find another source.
Mm.
That kind of reminds me of when I had the C43. That was meant to be, the auto transmission was meant to be sealed for life.
Yeah.
But there's kits and everything for it. And when I went to Mercedes, because it actually was leaking a bit, they said, yeah, it's meant to be lifetime, but we don't do anything like that. We change it. So
yeah,
they pull it apart, change it. And it was sweet. So I don't know where this miscommunication is all coming from, but it's not the real service people. They know what's going on. So what's going to last? There's no way there's a part that's just going to last forever.
That's right. That's right.
Especially when it comes to fluids.
Yeah.
They break down no matter what.
Well, I was speaking to...
These oils, there's just no way it can last forever.
No, I completely agree. Oils are
universal.
Well, when I was speaking to a tech that my brother knows, like when I first got the car, he's like, he's a Ford tech. And he's like, he said to me, oh, he's like, oh, they're actually really good though. You know, the Fiesta. He's like, don't buy anything with a power shift transmission. But he's like, those Fiestas and the previous STs are actually really good. You shouldn't have an issue for hundreds of thousands of Ks, which made me positive about the car. But just something like that after hearing the recall and doing a bit of research into it, and it just kind of got to me. So I don't mean to have a bit of a rant, gents, but it was just a bit frustrating.
I think you need to drive the bejesus out of that car, push it to its limits, and make sure if it's going to break, it's going to break under warranty.
Under warranty, sure.
Yeah.
Love it.
100%.
I will be redlining everywhere, Rob. So,
so how long have you had that car now? Is it a year you've had it?
Yeah, I've just had it over a year now. Yeah. So,
and how many Ks has it done?
6,000.
6,000. So 6,000 Ks a year.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you said every, 60,000 or 10 years, roughly, or 50,000 and 7 years or something like that, whichever is first. Yeah, I think that's cheap insurance to get the parts and get it done. And
absolutely.
Not listen to grumpy old man at Ford.
Yeah. No, I.
Young man, as may be.
No, it was an older gentleman. I don't think he just seemed like he just didn't care. He's like, oh, whatever. I'm like, oh, well, that sounds look, really.
You got to cut him a bit of slack. I mean, he's been dealing with power shift transmissions for and getting calls and through the service department for about those. So
Yep. No, I completely
jaded is the word that springs to mind.
Yeah. I just wanted to just get your guys' opinion on it, but anyway, that's for me. Like, I know the car will be fine. And as I said, there's many examples with high mods and high Ks doing track days relentlessly. And they're totally 100% reliable. So I just would like the peace of mind, So I think that's something that I'm going to just do anyway. And just say, you know what, I'll do it every, 7 years at 50, 60,000 Ks, just the peace of mind. But anyway, gentlemen, tonight's topic is. Actually, sorry, before I get to that, I did service Norma during the week. So that's the
words that you don't expect to hear on the podcast.
Yes.
Say that again.
Oh crap! Actually, that wasn't very good, was it? No, I serviced the gold laser named Norma. Yes. Thank you, David.
Nice choice of words.
You'd like to trust the words, yes. So she is all good. I needed two drive belts, so changed those. All good apart from that. So
and that's done about 110 now?
It's done 119,000. So we got it at 110. So
we've
put about 10 in a year, which is about right.
Yeah, more than the Fiesta.
More than the Fiesta, yeah. So yeah, no, it's a cracking little car. Anyway, tonight's topic, gentlemen, is cars we are looking forward to seeing arrive into showrooms in 2024. So these are the new cars that will be arriving this year, which is quite exciting because I like seeing what's coming up in the world of the automotive space. So it'll be really, really cool to see. But it'll be interesting to see what you guys are actually kind of excited for. There's a few good ones coming for me. Like the one actually I'm kind of interested in is the new Mitsubishi Triton. I think that looks epic. I think it looks really, really tough and really good. And a little bit of insider knowledge tells me that Tritons, out of all the, the current Utes, are probably the most reliable, if not the most basic kind of, but most reliable that you get a good life out of. And I've actually heard that from a few mechanics and a few sources. So this new one hopefully will keep that flame alive, and that'll be a really interesting car. Now, Rob, you had its brother, the the Pajero Sport, and you said that was great.
It was great, and a friend of mine's got the Triton as well, the current model. And apart from the suspension tuning, the car's a great car. Yeah, yeah. But the suspension's just not there.
Yeah,
need to work on that. And I hear the new model's going to be a lot better, so should be good. But yeah, the engine wise, reliable. Never had an issue with it. Started, just went. Never a problem. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing whatsoever. Another friend's got a Triton as well. He swears by him. And I don't feel they're slightly underpowered, but they're not overstressed.
Yeah.
So they just tend to run, and they continue to run. And that's what you want. If you want to keep a car, go and buy a Triton.
Yeah.
I believe that they're better than all the other utes on the market for reliability. And they basically have a 10-year drivetrain warranty on those.
They do. Absolutely. They do.
Whatever car does that?
Yep.
None.
Mm.
I completely agree with you. If I was in the market, I think I'd be looking at the new Triton when that comes out. I'd be like, "Ooh, give that a go. Have a suss."
I feel maybe not so good because isn't it off a Nissan platform? So,
I didn't know that they're sharing with the Nissan platform. Okay, that's actually interesting.
Mm. So that's my understanding. It'll be off a Nissan platform.
That's right. You still have 10 years warranty. So,
well, that's probably just the only good thing about it then. But Nissan's probably not so reliable.
No, I've heard interesting stories about Navaras. So, but yeah, no.
We'll know very soon because it's very close to release, I think.
Mm.
Correct. Yeah, it's around the corner. What about you guys? What's on your list?
Dark Horse Mustang.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah. So looking for. I actually sat in that the new Mustang. So it's got all the digital display, digital dash, and whatnot. They changed. They said it's a whole new car, but it's really not. There's a whole lot of new parts on it, 1,000 new or whatever it is, new parts. But it's still pretty much based on the previous platform.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I think the Dark Horse, I've been watching a lot of reviews on it and reading up about it, actually. It's kind of the first proper special Mustang we're getting here in Australia. Like we got the Mark 1, but the Mark 1 wasn't the full Mark 1 like they got overseas. Yeah. So this time we're getting the full enchilada. And it's got, like, you know, race-ready suspension, race brakes, and more power and a really good gearbox. So It'll be really cool to see. And also, Jim Farley, the CEO of Ford, has pretty much come out and said, we're committed to the V8, so the V8's not going anywhere, which is surprising.
They're going to have to be because their only other car on the market's a Ranger, isn't it? They don't really.
Yeah.
I think they've only got a two-model lineup at the moment, haven't they?
Here in Australia, pretty much, yeah. He's like committed to the V8, which is exciting for. I think that'd be the last affordable V8 because even Mercedes are, you know, they're done with V8. So, I mean, they want to bring them back from what I've heard, but Chevy's gone. The Charger and Hellcats are all gone. So it's the last kind of, you know, old school muscle car remaining, which is sad, but also, you know, kind of cool. So last of the breed.
Mm-hmm.
What about you guys? What are on your lists?
Just in relation to the Triton, I actually had the Kia Tasman and the Hyundai Santa Cruz. I think if Kia and Hyundai get serious about doing a dual cab ute, that's really going to put a cat amongst the pigeons as far as the Hilux Ranger sort of monopoly that's pretty much going on at the moment. Mind you, the D-Max, I think, is number 3, isn't it, Nalum, at the moment?
Correct.
The top-selling one, I think.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
So I think, yeah, if Hyundai and Kia put their mind to it, well, basically probably the same car underneath, of course, but Kia probably will still have the better warranty and that sort of thing. So,
sure, Honda released the ute as well last year.
Sorry?
Honda released the ute?
In America?
America, yeah.
Oh, they've had it for...
Yeah,
20 years, yeah, the Ridgeline, which was originally based on the MDX, sort of 3.5-litre V6.
Mm.
Yeah, they still sell gazillions of those over there. But, yeah, that won't come here. That's only built in left-hand drive, so that's never been any plans for it to come here.
That's disappointing.
I reckon. Mm. But, yeah, the Santa Cruz and the particularly looks pretty funky, so... If it's, you know, as much, if you can use it as, and it looks good, then if it's not all show, then it should be a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos on the new Land Cruiser, Land Cruisers, the four cylinder versus the V8. And so the new Land Cruisers and the new Prados are coming out.
Mm. I've got the Prado on my list too.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I've got that on the list.
Yeah. That should be good.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that's, I mean, if those companies would be really, you know, serious about, you know, like especially with Honda, with like a Ridgeline or something, or, you know, Kia and Hyundai, you know, it's our biggest market of cars here.
Yep.
You know, on sales. So like, if you want to get in, you know, you want to get on that train, you know, well, bring some here, because even the Chinese are doing it. And I see plenty of Great Walls, plenty of, you know, what are the other ones now? Got the name of the company now.
BYD or SAIC or
LDVs. I've seen plenty of LDVs as well. So yep. so they're definitely out there. They're definitely selling. So if they want a piece of that pie, they should probably enter the market. But you guys were saying the new Prado. I think the new Prado looks really, really cool.
Yeah.
I think that's a really cool.
See how good it is aerodynamically, because I know compared to Land Cruiser is very noisy. I think still a few creaks here and there and whatnot. So hopefully they've fixed all those issues up compared to a Land Cruiser.
Yeah. Who would have thought building something that looks like it's made out of Lego would be not, you know, aerodynamic? What a surprise.
Yeah. If it's anything like my Jimny, it's not going to be good.
Oh, come on, poor old Jimny.
I'm actually looking forward to actually seeing an Ioniq 5M come to our shores, because it's officially coming out this year. So, you know, apparently it's the real good middle point between actual a real combustion engine car and an electric car, especially seeing Keiichi Tsuchiya.
You can put petrol in it, can you?
No, you can't. But what you can do is you can watch Keiichi Tsuchiya take it sideways, paddle shifting, and around Sydney Motorsport Park, which is pretty epic. So it's like the motors kind of hold themselves back until you shift gears and you get the feeling of shifting. And I think that's if that's EV, that'd be kind of cool. And I think it looks epic. I like it. We all know we're a big fan of the of that car. There's apparently the Nissan Z or Z Nismo coming to Australia, which I think will be really, really cool. But again, only automatic, which is a bit weird. I don't know why they would have just made that automatic only. They're like, oh, it's because it's quicker. Yeah, but it's a sports car. Like, you'd still like to have the three pedal option.
A lot of them are saying that. They're just saying, oh, you know, the auto because it's quicker.
Yeah.
We get it's quicker, but a lot of people like to still just change gears.
Yeah. So it could be like the Supra that eventually, you know, they'll have to renege and actually go back to a manual gearbox as well, just to give the people that choice.
I just wonder what transmission's more expensive.
Well, it'd probably be the auto, right? Because, you know, it's got more in it. But, like, for example, the three-pedal Supra that's coming out, you know, it's still not selling as in great numbers as they would have liked.
Yeah.
Well, having said that, the Supra's not selling well in general, but... You know, there is still a case for three pedals.
But I guess if you're building them to have these auto transmissions, then it's cheaper.
Yeah. Well,
because there's a lot you've got to change in that if you want to put a manual in there. That's quite a lot of money. But if you're already building them to have these flappy paddle gearboxes, the dual clutches, saving money.
But here's the thing, Scotty. Like you can buy the standard Z and the standard Z Performance with a manual gearbox. So I'm like, I don't get why they haven't just said, oh yeah, we'll put a manual as well in the Nismo in the Nismo edition, which is just
you're right when it comes to that. Yeah.
Kind of makes no sense. I mean, Toyota kind of yielded and said, yeah, we'll put a manual in the Supra, and I think that'd be a harder to hold on to in the future because it's kind of like their last.
Funny, the people that are crying for it, are they the ones that are buying it, or they're just crying for it?
Well, I mean, David, I was with you and Ed when you guys were saying the worst car people are club people because they never actually buy the car. and, you know, they complain, but they never actually buy the car.
With some exceptions.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously put your money where your mouth is, David. But the... a lot of these, people feel, it's no car if it doesn't have three pedals. Well, how many people are actually spending 100K on a Supra? You know, like that's at the end of the day, that is the bigger question. A lot of people that has got 100 grand to spend on a Supra would rather just cruise at home and enjoy it. I mean, Rob, your Mustang is automatic, and you can drive manual fine, but you went for the auto option.
Just leaves the rest of the family.
Yeah. So,
and I don't clutch. There's more. Look, you got your. I think there's more room for the clutch to actually do damage to clutch and having to have to replace it, do the flywheel. Whereas an auto will just keep on going and going and going.
Yeah.
And they're more economical these days, anyway.
They were great in muscle cars back in the day, anyway.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at all the fastest cars on the strip, they're all autos. You know, for that reason, they snap shifts and they go really, really well. But in terms of like an actual out and out sports car, I just think I think Nissan is a bit kind of lost as to if they've got a manual option anyway in the other specs, just put a manual in it. Like that for me makes no sense. But who am I? I don't run the company.
Yeah. I'd just like to correct you on one thing you mentioned. You said something about the Ioniq 5N being cool. The only electric car I've got on my list actually is way cooler, and that's the Volkswagen ID Buzz.
That's the one car that's been coming for the last 5 to 10 years, David Prince. And I've said
it'll be here this year.
I will believe it when I see it because I've had that on my I've had that on my list of cars to look forward to the last maybe 3 years. But whenever we do this episode at the start of every year,
we parked next to one when we were overseas in the middle of the year, and
it's very bright
orange with the cream interior and the cream upper panels and stuff. It literally looks like a Hot Wheels car on the road. The wheels are massive, you know. It's the coolest looking thing on the road. It's unbelievably cool.
You forgot the 500E.
I saw one of those the other day.
I've got that on my list.
Okay.
I saw one in person the other day, Scotty.
Oh, did you?
A bright green one, like a yellowy green one.
Yeah, I know the color. Yeah, that's the color.
And I'm driving and it's coming the opposite way and I'm like, so it was the only one I've seen, but they are here now. Like they're 2024s. So that's a cool car.
And the Abarth is landed too. I drove past the Alpha dealer in Richmond today, and there are a couple out the front, bright blue and bright acid green, and colors. You're not going to miss them on the road.
No.
The question is, will they have the traditional Fiat unreliability, or will they actually make it places?
It comes a standard.
Fix it again, Tony.
Yeah,
the Italians doing full electric. Whoa!
that's kind of worrying at the same time, but it'll be interesting to see. What else, gentlemen, is on your list?
I've got the Santa Fe, Fe Range Rover.
Discovery, the Santa Fe Discovery.
I think that would be pretty cool to see on the road. I don't mind the front and the way they've done their headlights and stuff. It's pretty quirky. Hyundai are good with this quirkiness. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm kind of enjoying their kind of style. As we talked about a couple of episodes ago, their new design language of Envision 74 and how that's kind of come onto the Ioniq N and so Ioniq 5N and Ioniq 5 and that it'll be really, really cool to see what else they bring up.
It's really, really interesting from a styling point of view because you have the Ioniq 5, which looks cool and it's the thing on Ioniq 6. What is going on with that? I mean, it looks like a spider bug on the road. And the Santa Fe, you know, like it's an absolute blocky, you know, Lego Volvo 244 wagon-esque, you know, sort of design. So they're really, you know, having two bob each way, aren't they?
This is my theory. They've got two design teams in there underneath, you know, Hyundai, and they're both punching on to see who's got, you know, the best kind of designs. And what's happening is I think the boss is feeling sorry for the team that designed the Ioniq 6. They're like, okay, we'll give you this one. And it'll be like, yeah, what have we done? So it'll be interesting to definitely see that. But yeah, no, definitely the ID Buzz, just getting back to that one, actually looks really, really, I can't wait to see one in person. I think that's really, really cool. I was going to say to you, the updated Yaris GR now available with an automatic transmission, and they've kept it as a conventional auto, not a dual clutch, which has surprised a lot of people. So the conventional automatic, which a lot of people have been like, whoa, that's weird. And they've shown it on test tracks. It's 2 to 3 seconds, I think, quicker a lap on some laps, because you're not losing time getting off the boost and changing gear. And the revised interior, so you can actually see over the dashboard this time instead of just seeing half the car. So that's kind of cool. We all kind of agree that the RSGR is a very cool little car. So that would be that'll be that. What else, gentlemen, is coming?
I think the universe was listening to me when I talked about Lincoln cars. And it obviously didn't listen to me well enough. It said, if you want a Lincoln Navigator, we've got a Lincoln Navigator at home. And that turns out to be the Great Wall Motor Tank 500.
I love the name of it too.
It's so cool.
I think they're trying to rival the Toyota Prado with this, at least in the Australian market.
Yeah.
And from all the images, it looks very bougie.
Mm.
You know, it's got quite the luxury spec. The 500 Lux is I think the we'll call it base model. And that starts about 66 and a half. And then the Ultra, which actually has real leather seats and stuff, so the one you want, is to be confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's going to be some expensive Chinesium, I think. Not something I would take a risk on personally, cost spending that kind of money. But, you know, like they're doing pretty well on the market here. So I think it'd be cool to at least see the cars on the road, you know, something of that very much Lincoln feel, big SUV, that kind of styling. So that was pretty cool. Another one, I probably would not buy it, but the BYD, definitely not a Model 3, but it's totally a Model 3. the BYD Seal, I think, is what they're going for. So I think it's
priceless. They're going to run out of sea creatures soon enough. They've got a seal, a dolphin, and a what's the other one? Seal and dolphin and a
the seal, dolphin. They've got the Atto, which I don't know what an Atto is. BYD.
The Atto is that SUV type thing, which is, yeah.
They've got the Seagull.
Seagull, that's what's the other one, yeah. So
they've got the Sea Lion coming.
The Sea Cucumber. Calamari. The BYD Calamari.
Can I just bring out the BYD SpongeBob, and I would buy one.
Gains.
Yeah, or they could bring out the BYD Gary, you know, Gary the snail from SpongeBob, and I'd be all over that.
Yeah, the specs on the Seal seem to be pretty, I guess, again, it seems to be rivaling the Model 3, but for I think about $10,000 to $12,000 less.
Yeah.
Before on road, so it will be interesting to see. Yeah, there's no denying it. You just look through the images, and it's like, all right, can I copy your homework? All
right,
but
it's right. Look a bit, you know.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how well it sells and that sort of thing. It's good to see again some more competition in the EV market, bringing the prices down a little bit. Hopefully,
what's the price of the Seal compared to the Model 3?
So the Seal was, I think it started at 50. No, was it 48? I think it was 48,000. Starts it.
Okay.
I'll just have a quick check of that again, just in case. Yeah. So MSRP starting from about 49,800.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Model 3 starts at about, 62.
Okay.
So just that, I think it's not a sweet spot to make a person, I drive away, it's about 67,000 actually, for the Model 3. So it's enough of a difference, I feel, that a person would take a risk. Considering, they're both going to be made in China anyway, so, I don't think you're losing much there in terms of, manufacturing ability. Again, BYD seems to be doing pretty well so far, but obviously there's always time for some gremlins and stuff to come through.
Yeah.
So I personally will wait. My final one is something a little more aspirational. It is the Mercedes-AMG GT. You know, with all the cars moving into hybrids and everything else, this is still rocking the 4-liter V8 with 430 kilowatts.
Yeah.
So something...
It's almost the same as the SL.
Yeah.
Not unique.
But still, it's nice to see in the market.
I've just got to tell you, I was at a Mercedes dealer today working on a new, brand new EQS that was waiting to be registered. Had a scratch in the door trim, so I'll repair that nicely. And the guy said, oh, great, can I take it out? Yeah, sure. I said, it's a bit tight there. Just watch. And he said, oh, it's all right. This guy has four-wheel steering. I said, oh, really? That's cute. You know, that's good. I said, I had a 1988 Honda with four-wheel steering. And he moved out, and the thing turned it nearly in its own length. But everything old is new again. But
yeah,
it should have the watch 'em call it thing that you can turn on its own.
Action. Oh, like the G wagons can.
Yeah.
Electric, you should be able to do it.
Yeah, when you were chucking hoops in your P76, Rob, that's how you were doing it, right? Yeah.
With the old radial TAs on it. No matter what, you just go, whoop.
I want to say one that you guys are kind of like, I'm glad you're sitting down for this, but the MG, I know, just to relax, the Cyberstar, it's the only kind of MG that makes me feel like, oh, this is like old school MG, because it's actual, it's like a two-door, Roadster. It's a Roadster, a two-door, two-seater Roadster. And I'm like, that kind of harks back to old MG, being old, little sports cars. It kind of looks really cool. Don't know how big it's going to be, but it'll be, from what they're saying here, it's going to be around 100K. And that puts it in Z4 and 718 Boxster money. And that's a bit.
I used to like you, Matt.
I know. But I'm just saying. I've never said anything positive about MG on this podcast for the last, 7 years we've been doing this thing.
Because they wouldn't give you cars to sponsor you, isn't it?
Well, Haval didn't give us cars either.
My Chinese SUV mixed up. My apologies.
But I've been very critical on MG in terms of after driving one and being bitterly disappointed. This time... This is, surprise, right? But this time that they've actually kind of brought something back that kind of harks back, at least not just being a badge, MG badge, actually kind of harks back to their, sports car roots, which would be kind of interesting to see how it goes. I'm assuming it's probably going to just be all show. I'd like to see it have some go, but it'd be interesting to see what that does. I know Scotty, he's going to leave the podcast very shortly because he's like, I'm not doing this anymore. Anything else, gentlemen, before we move on?
I've got one, probably at an end of the market that we don't usually talk a lot about. I want to see it because the common convention is that Ferrari spent $30 billion or something developing a Mazda CX-3, a 30 lookalike. And I spied the front of it in the showroom the other day. It is 2024. I've got to go in and have a look. I can't even pronounce it. I think it's a Ferrari Puro Sangue.
Well, that's good Italian.
I don't know how to say it.
Puro Sangue. So,
David, it's all about the
it's hand all movements. About, that's right. Yeah. So it's something to do with blood, sangue's blood, so and maybe pure blood. Maybe that's what it means. I don't know. But the Ferrari SUV.
Goodness me.
$700,000+?
Bargain.
It kind of looks like a two-door, even though it's a four-door.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a jacked up FF. Ferrari FF. And I'm like, that is another pointless car. It's so low to the ground, but it's an SUV. Like, how does that even make any sense? I don't get it. But anyway, I'm sure it was
profile shots Mazda CX-30.
Yeah, it's quite literally that. So Mazda, get your solicitors and your QCs out. I'd start sucking. But like, I'm sure it'll sell well to everyone in Beverly Hills and all that who want the most expensive Ferrari they can buy. So enjoy. For the you people, enjoy.
I mean, if you're gonna buy a stupid car, you might as well buy a Urus then.
Yeah, well, if you're gonna buy a dumb car, yeah, you may as well buy one. Yeah. You're right. You're spot on. Yeah.
Or a DBX.
A DBX, yeah, that's another one. Or the Cullinan. Oh, I hate Cullinans. They are just or Bentley Bentayga. Like, what are they? Like, sorry. If you're buying a Merc or buying like a Bentley, you gotta buy a Bentley. You don't buy a freaking Bentayga. Like, that's just for me. What's the point?
If you hark back to the old days, the old Bentleys were as big as an SUV.
That is true.
That's right.
That is true. That is true. That is actually very true. They're all coach built. I don't know, man. They just, yeah. I mean, Ferrari's supposed to be a sports car. I mean, I don't get why they're doing it because they have to, and it's the whole reason the Mustang Mach-E exists, yeah, because you know they have to make it there so they can still produce V8s and things like that. Yeah, interesting. I did see for the first time ever your Sunday a Mach-E on the road. I was like, wow, that's surprising. I've never seen one on the road before. So to the 1.5 people that bought a Mach-E, good luck. Any last ones, gents?
I think covered most of them that I had on my list. I'll just go through my list now, but.
Maybe we might get a whole lot of electric cars that no one's buying in America at the moment. They might have to repurpose them and send them around the world because no one wants them over there.
No one currently wants F-150s because they're going to have an update's coming already.
Yeah, there is.
So yeah. Anyway, that'll be an interesting one to do. You guys all done? Ready for the quiz?
Yep.
Good on.
All right, guys. So it is the quiz time, as it is the quiz how we normally do it. 10 questions plus some bonus questions. Now last week I kind of introduced the new style of having a reading a an excerpt from a car advertisement brochure, and you had to guess what type of car it was.
Oh yeah, that was
cool. I'm gonna do one more of those today.
Ooh, okay. I missed those.
Yes. So what I read it to you, and I say blank whatever the car's name is, and it'll give you like information about the vehicle. And you guys can buzz in when you guess it. So that would be one of the first questions for you guys to have today. But you know the rules: 10 questions plus some bonus questions. Let's crack on. Question one: In the 1980s. Chevrolet introduced the trim level on the Camaro called the IROC Z. What did IROC stand for?
David.
David.
It was something to do. It was international racing something.
I'll give you half a point, David. You got the first two words right, international race.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to jump in for the other half?
Honestly, not sure. Is it got something to do with like NASCAR or?
No, it was like a Trans Am series, but
okay, yeah.
So
the international race organization control.
Control. I like your efforts there, David. Rob, but that is incorrect. Alan,
I got nothing.
You got nothing. It was called the International Race of Champions. I don't know what the Z stands for, but anyway. All right. Question.
I rock, you rock, we all rock.
Okay, that's correct. Question two. Blank and blank, the ultimate expression of the Aussie Ute. Fully interrogated, leading edge styling, exclusive to blank, leaves no one in any doubt that this is a very true special vehicle. Imagine unmatched 5.7 litre V8 power and torque pumping at 255 kilowatts with your choice of manual or auto.
David.
David.
That's got to be a Malu, hasn't it?
It is a Malu, correct. David, well done. Question two. A couple of weeks ago, a company in Japan shut down its manufacturing plants. Which company was it?
David. Oh,
David just got in there.
Daihatsu.
Daihatsu, that is correct.
That's who?
That's who, Daihatsu.
To add to that, it's really Toyota, isn't it?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
Yeah, Daihatsu is a fully owned subsidiary of Toyota. Interesting.
It's going to be Daihatsu Gate. bonus question.
Very safe cut.
But this is the bonus question. Give me a pun related to the shutdown.
Unrelated to the shutdown.
In relation to the cars that they've sold, if you can give me something that I will laugh. I will give you some points. I've got a few here that I've written down already.
Unrelated. I can't wait to hear them.
give me a funny pun that can relate to the shutdown.
Been eating them reliably for 30 years with no problems. I don't know.
Think about their cars safety. they've sold here in Australia.
Safety, no issue.
No applause. No applause.
No applause. Thank you, David. I'll give you 0.5 for that. No applause. Actually, I'll give you 0.5 as well, Rob. That was actually kind of funny. any last ones before we move on?
All right. They hijacked it out of there.
Yes, well done.
Oh, their manufacturing for the last 30 years has been a complete charade.
Charade, there we go.
That's a good one.
Yep, so I'll give you a 0.5 as well, Alan. Scotty, your chance for one. Do you want to put one in there?
Nah, all good.
I would have taken, it was all a charade. Let's have a round of applause for their shutdown. we have our ways of coping. Boon for the competition. Move quickly to solve this.
Oh, that's good.
And strip the issue naked to see the truth. So there you go. That I would have taken any of those. Question three. Which smartphone manufacturer has announced its electric car, which is able to go 800 Ks on a single charge of electricity?
Alan. Xiaomi.
Xiaomi is correct, Alan. Well done. I'll give you the points there. Score check. Scotty at the score. Rob, 0.5. Alan, 1.5. And David's currently leading on 3.5.
Can I just say on that, it's more of a aspirational kind of thing that Xiaomi's going for. I don't think they've got anything solid and concrete that will actually do those figures. Because the mathematics of battery technology today, it'd be an insanely heavy car that you wouldn't want on the road.
Nope. Bonus question. In terms of smartphone companies, where do Xiaomi rank in the top 10? And this is not a really car-related question, but because they're, you know, I thought I'd put them in. I never really heard of Xiaomi until now. Yeah.
Scott. I'm going to say number three.
You are correct, Scotty. Well done. They are three in the world. For a company I've never heard of, it's pretty damn good.
It's nuts.
They sell a lot of phones in China.
They do.
Yeah, I thought because where it came from is going to be something big, so.
What do the Audi TT, Ford Escape, Kona N, Kia Stinger, and Mercedes CLS all have in common?
Sorry, run those past us again.
What do the Audi TT, Ford Escape, Kona N, Kia Stinger, and Mercedes CLS all have in common?
David. They're designed by the same person?
Incorrect.
Good guess.
Thanks.
They all break down.
Incorrect. Some correct, but incorrect for that. But
could you name the cars again? Sorry.
The Audi TT, the Ford Escape, the Kona N, the Kia Stinger, and Mercedes CLS all have in common, especially here in Australia.
David. Oh, okay, haven't I?
Yes. We'll give Scotty and Alan a chance to go first.
Yeah, sure.
They all only came auto.
Incorrect.
Are they all no longer being sold here?
Correct. They are all discontinued. Well done, Alan. Question five. Every new car on sale currently in Australia has had its what slashed?
Every new car on sale in Australia.
In Australia currently has had its what slashed? Taken away.
Oh, David?
David.
Wait time?
Incorrect.
Alan.
Alan.
Safety rating.
Safety rating, correct. At the start of the year, ANCAP took all their safety ratings away and redoing it for their new safety
rating standards. New and more standards.
Correct. Well done.
Well, we've got some of the toughest in the world. It'll be interesting to see what they come up with. I didn't hear that.
Well, the new Kona and the new ZR-V, David, believe it or not, both were expected to get 5 stars underneath the new scheme, only got 4.
Underneath the new scheme,
The new scheme, yeah. So it's quite tough and stringent, which companies are finding out. It's all right, Rob. The Mustang will get like 0.5. Like it got 2 last time. So
the Mustang got a negative 0.5.
But it's still safer now because it's got blind spot monitoring and depth control, and a few extra.
That's right.
As long as it's got airbags, you're fine.
Yeah, you'll be right. Should be right.
Yeah, I'll take my chances. Thanks.
What new regulation is Australia planning to introduce locally, which will affect some of the most popular cars in Australia today on sale?
Is this just Victoria?
Australia-wide.
Australia-wide. So it's not what I was thinking of then.
I mean, it could be Victoria. I mean, Victoria would have had definitely a say in this because we are the California of Australia. So from what I've read, it's going to introduce that'll be in regulations for Australia that we're going to introduce.
Alan, are there going to be, I guess, new emissions standards?
Yeah, I'll pay that, Alan. It's the new Euro 6D emission standards, which are super duper hard to pass. Mm.
Why do we have to go Euro stuff? There's only 20 million of us. We should be able to.
I know. Question 8. So, airbags are designed to deploy at speeds at over what in kilometers per hour, gentlemen?
Rob? I thought it was 10.
Incorrect.
Alan? I'm going to go with 30.
Incorrect.
Oh, damn it.
Scott.
40.
Incorrect. David.
Oh, really?
I had a thought feeling it was 25.
It is 25. 25 kilometers an hour they are set to deploy. Mm-hmm. Bonus question. Now this will really test it. They'll see who gets this one. How long does it take an airbag to inflate?
Ooh.
I'll give closer to. Scott got in there first. I'll give
0.05.
I'm actually after milliseconds if possible. So is that you saying 0.5 milliseconds?
Yeah, it's 3 milliseconds.
0.5 milliseconds. Rob says, what was that, 0.3, Rob, you said?
Yeah, I think it's 3, isn't it? 3 milliseconds.
0.3 milliseconds.
I'll go 0.4.
0.4 seconds or 0.4 milliseconds.
That's very, very, very fast, I feel. I think it'll be closer to, obviously they inflate very fast, but it'll be probably closer to 60 milliseconds or more. So I'll go with that.
60 milliseconds. Alan, you are correct. It's 30 to 40 milliseconds. So I'll give you the chocolate. Spot on.
Because I know it's very quick, but when we get into fractions of milliseconds, that becomes a little too suspicious.
It's like measuring distance in space, isn't it?
Question 9. The Mazda MX-5 is in the Guinness World Book of Records. Why? David.
Top-selling roadster sports car of all time?
Yeah, I'll give you that. The top-selling, best-selling two-seat sports car of all time. Score check. We still got one question to go. Alan is on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.5. Scotty on 1. Robin 0.5. David is on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.5. So,
ooh.
Tied game. Question 10. What does the word Škoda actually translate to in English?
Good on you. Oh, in English, the word translate into English.
Yeah, so what does it actually mean?
It's not an acronym. Okay.
It's quite, it actually makes sense when you guys, what I tell you guys, because I don't think anyone's going to get it, but
Superior,
incorrect. It's definitely not, but anyway, we'll go with that.
David, I'll say moving forward.
Incorrect.
Moving forward.
Scotty and Rob, you still got to guess each.
Viking.
No, I can't even have a guess. Skoda. I'm just trying to see if it sounds like anything to connect it to, but...
What's the logo? It's like a dragon or something, isn't it? Or...
Yeah, it's something weird. I don't know.
I think it's a bow and arrow.
Yeah, I think it is too.
I was
thinking something bird, like a bird's wings or something.
You guys all out?
I'm out.
Skoda translates to too bad.
What?
Too bad, as in too bad, like T-O-O space bad. So whenever someone says, I bought a Skoda, you can say, oh, too bad. Like, it's too bad.
Wow, that's all.
Yeah, that's what Skoda quite literally translates to. So we have got currently a tie for first place. You can either choose to shake hands, or I can give you the bonus question, which is another brochure question.
Bonus.
Bonus is what Rob wants, but up to you, gentlemen.
Oh, if you've got a bonus question, let's go bonus.
Yeah, let's go to the bonus, Matty. I'm probably going to lose this.
Mano e mano.
Oh, all right. You're
squinting like an old man.
Yeah, it's hard to... It's actually quite hard to read.
When you show your grandparents something on the iPad and then they're like, you know, just putting it all
they
the way
they go further around. Back, yeah.
Matty.
Okay, yeah, I'd probably need them. What happens... All right, so I'll give you the brand, okay? But you have to guess the car.
So it's a brochure one.
It's a brochure one.
Yep.
A whole new car, a whole new attitude. What happens when Holden's designers and engineers push the envelope? You get the new blank, which is the name of the car. A stylish car, a new stylish car with charisma. The blank is a type of newer type of car altogether, developed for the Australian conditions. As a way of life, it combines the best features of a compact, an efficient hatch, and for getting around town in a light and accessible vehicle for weekend getaways. With this new approach and fresh look, the blank has an attractive head-turning style. The bonnet is set off by the multi-reflector halogen headlamps, low-mounted fog lamps, and grille lights. The rear is complete with two high-mounted innovative pillars of lights in
David. Holden Cruise.
The first Holden Cruise is correct. Well done.
I was feeling that, but all the times it's short. Was that the one that was just a Suzuki?
Yep. Yeah, that's the one. There it is.
Suzuki Ignis.
That's the but believe it or not, that's actually the one to buy because exactly that one came with all-wheel drive. So... that is the one to get. The 1.5-litre fuel-injected dual-overhead cam engine, which will crave for more power. So there you go. That is that one. I was going to give you one related to the MX-5 or one related to a Jazz, but I'm like, that'd be too easy for both of you, so I'll go for something completely different.
Fair enough, too.
Gentlemen, that is the car quiz. David Prince, you are this evening's winner. Well done.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations, David.
Careful.
I'm going to try and incorporate more of these brochure ones going forward. I think they're a bit of fun.
They're pretty cool. I like
them. They're great, yeah.
I think that's a podcast, gents.
I think so.
Fantastic.
Let's do some plugs. But before we do, I just want to say shout out to you, David Prince. Your show's back up and running, and it's listen to the first episode, and it's great. So you want to give yourself a plug.
That's a good plug.
Yeah, we're back with Auto Retro for season two. The first episode dropped last Sunday. We talked to a guy called Rowan Cornelius, who's a good friend of this show as well, and a lovely bloke. tells some very funny stories, which weren't meant to be funny, but turned out to be very funny. So yeah, Auto Retro, the podcast where Ed and I talk to people about the cars of their lives, and we're back and running.
Absolutely. You'll have to get an episode of Rob and his P76. P76 love. But yeah, good to have it back. Awesome first episode for season two. I was so pumped and G'd up when I heard about it. I was like, oh, so exciting. So gave it a good listen. It's really premier listening. If you're into cars, and even if you're not into cars, you just like love a good story. Their podcast, is phenomenal. So I can't push it highly enough. Give it a big thumbs up on the interwebs and find it. And yeah, really excited for the rest of the season, David.
Thanks, Matty. That's great. Thank you.
Rob's fabrication, firefighting, electrical, what else? Sandblasting.
Neighborhood dispute resolution.
Yeah. Rob's lawyers. If you need any of those done, he's your man, as he always is. Goody do, golf tip of the week.
Golf tip of the week. I'm pretty sure I've said this one before, but aiming properly. Mm. So a lot of people just come up to the golf ball on the coming into the side of it to hit it, and off they go. Look from behind, and then walk up to it from there. Pros do it all the time. It just gets your mind to see where you're actually aiming, because a lot of the time you're not aiming right when you're looking at it side on and you're turning your head. Happens to me all the time. Not aiming right, so then I reposition, stand behind the ball, and then walk up to it.
Very
aiming
good. Yep.
Right. Radar.
You like walking up to the toilet bowl.
Excellent
advice. Exactly right.
What was that, Rob? Walking up to the toilet.
Walking up to the toilet bowl, you know?
Got to make sure your aim's good. That's important. It's very important for the bathroom and for the toilet and for the golfing greens. So yeah, you got to make sure that you get that aim good. I mean, with everything we've learned so far, Scotty, we should be able to make sure that happens.
Yep.
Alan,
if you're into more video content, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. It has what is building our entire previous catalog of podcasts, and we'll continue to feature the future ones. And also we'll have exclusive video content, which is us usually doing some kind of shenanigans involving cars around the city of Melbourne.
100%. We got to plan that first episode, Alan, which should be a lot of fun. Like and share our Facebook page. It's Car Talk. That's TORQE with Matty J. If you missed any of our previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasting apps. So don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review to us there. Check out our merch. Go to our Teespring store. Go to teespring.com. Check out our new merch that we've got on there. It's actually looking really, really cool. And support the show there. Or support the show by becoming a patron to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Car Talk Podcast. Our boy Riz couldn't be on tonight, but we'll give him a plug as well, Alan.
Yep, he is the ultimate man in the know when it comes to the electric car space. So if you really want to know the difference between, the Tesla Model 3 and the definitely not BYD Model 3, he's the man to hit up. He can tell you which one's worth buying, which one's worth, taking a pass on. And you can hit him up at carloop.com.au or on facebook.com/carloopau.
Gentlemen, honor as always, and I'll see you next time. Take it easy.
See you later.